Good to see everyone here this evening. We do have visitors in the audience, and we are especially thankful for that. And we would like to encourage you to listen carefully to the things that are said and the things that are sung, the things that are prayed, and also look carefully at the things that are done. And if you have any question about anything that goes on here that you'd like to know more about, why we do what we do, why we teach the way that we teach, we'd be more than glad to sit down with you in the privacy of your own home or in the comfort of a donut shop or in my office, wherever you feel comfortable, and talk about the Word of God. I love to talk about the Word of God with anybody, anywhere, at any time. So I'd love to do that. We are going tonight to deal with a series that we have been dealing with for several weeks now. This is the last lesson of this series. Dangers facing the church. There are truly many dangers that we could face, and we could list a lot more than the things that we have talked about up to this particular point. But we, to this point, have talked about the dangers, the danger of legalism. Now, I define what that is. Many times that is a term that is said in derision towards the members of the body of Christ. And it does not properly reflect what we believe and teach. And it certainly does not properly reflect what the Bible teaches. The Bible does teach, by the way, that we must obey the Lord. And let me ask you a question. If you think that it is not important to obey the Lord, you've got a problem. Very, very plainly, you've got a problem. Because in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, though he is the Son, if he learned obedience to the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto whom? Unto all them that obey him. So it is extremely important that we obey the Lord. Legalism is the idea of, okay, thinking and teaching that if you do certain things, if you do what the law of Moses, for example, says, then you merit or you earn anything. Now, when we teach that we must obey the Lord, we're not teaching that you earn or merit anything. What we are simply saying is that you access the wonderful grace and mercy of God when you submit to the conditions that the Lord God has set forth. And there is absolutely nothing meritorious about that at all. Liberalism. Okay, legalism is actually binding that which God is not bound. That's wrong. Liberalism is loosing that which God has not loosed. That's wrong too. We have to stay within the bounds of Scripture. That's really what those two lessons we're dealing with. False doctrine. That's certainly a danger. Friend, we must stand upon the Word of God, nothing but the Word of God. We cannot add to it. We cannot take away from it. We must speak when the Bible speaks. We must be silent when the Bible is silent. We must do Bible things in Bible ways. We must call Bible things by Bible names. There is nothing wrong with that expression, as Brother Daly pointed out this past week. We must stand upon the Scriptures. Anything that is not found in the Scripture, anything that is not taught in the Scripture, is false doctrine, and it is to be exposed for what it is, and we need to be aware of the danger of false doctrine. Emotionalism. Many people are carried away with the idea of emotionalism. They think that if they feel a certain way, then that means that God is with them. And then they look at truth and see, I feel a certain way. I see the Bible doesn't teach and uphold what I believe and what I'm practicing, but I sure feel good about it. Well, friend, let me tell you something. Just because you feel good about a thing doesn't mean a thing. The proverb writer made it very clear, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, the ways of death. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. I don't care how you feel about a thing. Truth is what matters. What does the Word of God say? I guarantee you, the devil wants you to feel good about anything that's wrong. And he'll do anything he can to help you feel good about what you're doing that's wrong. So just because you feel a way doesn't mean that it's right. Now, being emotional is all right, as long as it is based upon the truth of God's Word. Then that should, in fact, provide us with the proper emotions. Materialism, that is a danger, that's a cultural danger, that is a danger that we face every single day. I think we all understand what materialism is. Worldliness, the sins that are taking place around us, we need to be aware of those things. It is a real danger to the church, and we were talking in our training class tonight. One of the big problems that we face in trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, spread the borders of the kingdom of heaven, is the fact that too many people are worldly minded. They have their mindset on the things of this life, things of this world, the pleasures of this world. And friend, it's infiltrating the church. And it's destroying us. It's destroying us. We need to be aware of the danger. Tonight we're going to talk about apathy. goes right along with what we talked about this morning, right along with what we talked about in our training class and dealing with personal evangelism. Apathy. It is a real problem today. Apathy. You know, what is the difference between ignorance and apathy? Someone was once asked that question. You know what they said? I don't know and I don't care. I don't know and I don't care. Well, that's an apathetic person right there. What is the difference between ignorance and apathy? There is a difference. It's narrow. It's not a big difference, but there is a difference. Ignorance is simply a lack of knowledge and understanding about a thing. But apathy is what will keep you there. Okay? We need to remember that. Apathy. Do you realize that scientists discovered a cure for apathy? They did. They tried to market it, but nobody bought it. You know, you could go on with the apathy jokes, but I tell you what. Apathy is dangerous to us. We need to be aware of it. I want to ask some questions tonight as we think about the subject of apathy. First of all, I want to define it. What is apathy? It's simply a lack of emotion or a lack of interest, listless condition, or indifference. That's what apathy is. It's an I don't care attitude. I'm not going to get fired up about anything attitude. Well, let me put it this way. If you're apathetic towards a particular thing, then you don't care about that particular thing. It's not a big deal to you. Now, if you're truly interested in something, you're not going to be apathetic towards that thing, whatever it may be. If you are truly interested in something, you will be zealous for it. You will want to do it. You will want to engage in it. If it is a practice, you'll want to engage in it. If it is a subject, then you're going to want to learn all that you can about it. If we are truly zealous about spiritual things, we are going to want to know what we need to do to be spiritually minded. We're going to try to live a spiritual life. But if we're apathetic towards spiritual things, then friend, we're just not going to care that much about it. We're going to be impassiveness is a synonym for it. We're going to be just letting it go. We're not going to care, indifferent towards it, lethargy and unconcern. We're just not going to care about it. That's what apathy is. And if we are apathetic towards spiritual things, we are in serious, serious trouble. And it is a real danger. What are some of the causes of apathy? What are some of the causes? I don't think that there's any one thing that you can put your finger on and say, this is the cause for every single person. I think there are different things that come into play that leads a person into an apathetic mindset. I think there are several things. First of all, it is a lack of fear and respect for God for many. They simply do not have, and we talked about this in our Bible class preceding our worship tonight. Wes Sammons brought this up. Many people do not fear God as they should. If you don't have a proper respect for God, if you don't have a proper respect for His Word, then you're going to be apathetic towards it. Friend, that's just all there is to it. You're not going to care that much about it. Fear those. Or don't fear those necessarily who can kill your body, but rather fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You need to fear God. There are several passages that make this point. Interesting, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. And he's going on, he's explaining to them, if you don't do these things, it all begins with fear and respect for God. If they didn't properly fear and respect God, they weren't going to obey Him. They weren't going to serve Him. So it begins there with fear and respect. 1 Kings 8. In verse 21, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve Him. If Baal be God, serve Him. Stop halting between two opinions. That's what apathy is. They don't have a proper respect for God, so they'll just give half-hearted service to God. They won't give their whole heart to Him, just part of it. That's apathy. That's what the people of Israel were doing. On one hand, they wanted to serve Baal because that was the God that Ahab and Jezebel had set up and most people worship. But then many of them also wanted to hold on to God with their other hand. And people do that today. They want to hold on to the world with one hand, the idols of this life, and they want to hold on to God with the other hand. You can't do that. That's an apathetic approach to your service to God. It's idolatry. And it's all due to a lack of fear and respect for the one true living God. Second, a lack of faith and trust. Whether it be anxiety or apathy, those are opposite. Anxiety, you're always worried, you're overly concerned about the things that are around you. You're overly concerned. That's a faith issue. You really, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus deals with that. It's a faith issue. We need to develop a greater faith and trust in our God. But so is apathy. It is a lack of faith in God. I wonder how many people who are apathetic toward spiritual things, I wonder how many people really believe they're going to hell. You know, I'm convinced that they truly believe that the path that they're on is going to destroy them spiritually. I believe that they really understood that. If there was a faith that was there, that they understood what was going to happen to them, they'd change. It is a faith issue. Do we truly have faith in God, and do we truly trust Him? Jude 1 and verse 5, Hebrews 3, 16 through chapter 4, verse 2, the people of Israel there, as the Hebrew writers dealing with them, they had a faith issue. That's what kept them out of the land of Israel, or the promised land. That's why they were destroyed in the wilderness. They became apathetic towards serving God because of their lack of faith. And it kept them out of the promised land. A lack of love and concern. There's another thing that can keep one from being zealous. A simple lack of love and concern. If I do not love God, will I obey Him from a pure heart? Now think about that. If I am unconcerned about the souls of men, will I be busy teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ? A lack of love. In Jeremiah 3 and verse 10, and yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah has not returned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. In pretense. Many people say they love Jesus. They say that they are concerned about spiritual things, but what about their life? How are they living? Are they obeying Jesus? John 14 and verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Who is it that truly loves Jesus? I don't care how many bumper stickers you have on the back of your car that says, I love Jesus, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I don't care. I'll tell you what does matter is whether or not you are obeying him. That's what matters. A lack of love and concern is demonstrated in your obedience to God. Are we apathetic in giving our life over to Him? If we truly love Him, Mark the 12th chapter, verses 29 through 31. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. For this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now this is the heart of a Christian, or should be. And if that be the heart of the Christian, he's not going to be apathetic. Love. Another thing that causes apathy is a lack of security and hope. I want to illustrate this point like this. Let's say that you are working for someone, for a major company, and that company is bought out. Somebody else comes in and they're fixing to make wholesale changes. You don't know whether you have a job or not. And in fact, when the people that come in that are over you, you just don't like them very much. All right? And you don't have job security. You don't know what's going to happen. What kind of incentive do you have to really work hard? What kind of incentive do you have to really get down and be energetic? We ought to be energetic, try to keep our job, but you know, many people, you know what they do? They just sit down and they quit. Oh, well, I don't care, whatever. Whatever happens, happens. That person won't retain his job. But many people fall into that category. A lack of security and hope will cause a person to shrink back and become apathetic. And this, again, is tied in with faith and trust. Because we don't have faith and trust, then we have lack of security and hope. In Acts chapter 7, verse 39, whom our fathers would not obey but rejected, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. They turned back to Egypt. Why? Why did Israel turn back in their hearts to Egypt? because they lacked faith and trust in God, number one. And you know, when they looked over there and they saw all the people who inhabited the land of Canaan, they became afraid. They didn't feel secure. They didn't trust God to help them, so they didn't feel secure. What kind of hope? Their hope was shattered because all these people, they were bigger than they were. They had walled cities. What kind of hope? We're going to go over there and they're going to slaughter us. So, well, let's go back to Egypt. Much safer. A lack of security and hope that can lead to apathy. A lack of growth and success. A lack of growth and success. Some of this could be due to our trying and failing. Our trying and failing. And the more we try, the more we fail. Guess what? We get discouraged. And because we get discouraged, then we fail. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. This passage, there are a lot of applications that you can make to this passage, but it says if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Now, there are a lot of folks out there who, I mean, they don't try to sharpen their skills, they don't try to improve themselves. And you know, it's like beating their head against the wall trying to accomplish things. And a lack of growth and success sometimes is due to the fact we haven't applied ourselves to do the small things, the basic things, the fundamentals. And we haven't kept our axe sharpened, and we haven't continued to sharpen our axe. And thus, we lack growth and success, and then we become discouraged, and then, well, you see where that will go. Of course, the Apostle Paul learned that whatever state he was in, to be content. He was satisfied with where he was, and that's the attitude that we need to have. We'll talk more about that a little later. A lack of vision and purpose. In 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, you know, a person who has his hope in this world, a person who has his hope centered on the possessions, the things of this life, the pleasures of this life, what a miserable state to be in. And a person who has a lack of vision and purpose, he's not really living for anything that's yet in the future that's really great, that's grand that he can hold on to. What do you think will be the product of that? If you don't have that hope that we talked about a little earlier out there in front of you, how hard are you going to try to get there? So a lack of vision and purpose in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17 talks about the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All these things, he says, will pass away. They're not of the Father. They're of the world. And the things of the world, they're passing away. But the word of the Lord will endure forever. And those who love the Lord will endure forever. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 make that point. We need to place our faith and our trust in the Lord. Well, we need to move on, but those are some causes of apathy. What are some of the symptoms of apathy? We talked this morning about irregular attendance. Worship, meetings, Bible study, those kinds of things. You know, if a person is really on fire for the Lord, they really love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Again, just like I said this morning, that person is not going to find it difficult to assemble with the saints. It's just not going to be a problem for them. You're not going to have to plead with them. You need to attend, won't you? Where were you? Well, I was out shopping, I was out fishing, I was out hunting, and all those excuses won't come up. Now, if you're sick, that's fine. If you're sick, can't be here, that's fine. If you have something that has to be done, that's one thing. But irregular attendance, there is a symptom of apathy. A lack of Bible study. Either together or private. Getting together with other people, studying the Word of God with them, studying it yourself. This is a symptom of apathy towards spiritual things. If you do not have a hunger for God's Word, friend, that is a siren going off, and you ought to hear it. It ought to be blaring in your ears. You are apathetic towards spiritual things. A lack of personal evangelism. You know, these training classes that we are having, hopefully, is inspiring people. Well, first of all, helping us to see the need, and helping us to understand better how to be busy, involved in personal evangelism. Oh, how we need to be busy in that. But if we do not see a need or importance of personal evangelism, if we are apathetic towards that, then there's an underlying problem. We have a spiritual problem. We have a we have an apathetic attitude towards our spiritual well-being and the well-being of those around us. A lack of involvement in the work of the church. This is produced many times by an apathetic attitude. We're just not that concerned about it. Well, I don't care. So if I don't care, then I am not going to truly be involved in these things. It's a lack of involvement in the work of the church that is caused by apathy. A lack of interaction with other Christians. Brethren, we ought to want to get together with each other. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. We ought to give honor to one another and prefer one another. We ought to prefer one another over those who are out in the world. Even those whom we consider friends who are out in the world. You know, we ought to desire to be with one another more than them. A lack of interaction with other Christians is an indicator of an apathetic attitude. A lack of desire to study, assemble, pray, associate. All of these things. Now, earlier I pointed out irregular attendance, lack of Bible study, personal evangelism. Now, notice that there's one word different here. This word desire. That's really what we're talking about. Do we have a lack of desire for spiritual things? This is a real danger to the church today. I'm telling you, I don't know if there is a greater danger. When we dealt with materialism, I said this is a great danger. Great danger. And it is. Worldliness is a great danger to the church. But apathy is what allows these problems to become as serious as they are. A lack of faith, virtue, knowledge, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, fruit, hope. Look at your attitude. How would you define your faith? Is it strong or is it weak? What about your virtue? What about your character? What about your knowledge of scriptural things? What about your patience when times get hard? What about your godliness or godlikeness? What about brotherly kindness? What about your love for the brethren? What about fruit? What kind of fruit are you bearing? How strong is your oath? All of these things are so important. And if we have a lack of these things, then that is a symptom of apathy. Now, another question then that brings up is, what are the consequences of such an attitude? Well, number one, we will not grow spiritually. Galatians 5:22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is to be produced in the life of every single Christian. All of us should be bearing this kind of fruit. Turn with me over to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Again, we're very familiar with this. Verse 22. But, and this is in contrast with what he just said, the works of the flesh is contrasted with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We will not grow in these areas if we are apathetic. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. How does Peter begin this text again in verse 5? Add with all diligence, add to your faith. With all diligence, that's not apathy, friends. That's zeal. With all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, etc. We need to give all diligence to our spiritual growth. And if we are apathetic, we will not grow spiritually. You can't. If you're apathetic towards spiritual things. Now, you may be apathetic towards sports. That's fine. That doesn't make any difference whether you're apathetic towards sports or not. Doesn't make any difference whether you're apathetic towards things of the world. But it does make a difference for whether or not you are apathetic or zealous towards spiritual things. The local church will not grow. If the majority of the members of this congregation were apathetic, we wouldn't be growing. And I'll say this on the flip side of this coin. When brethren are truly zealous and they're working hard, what will happen? The church will grow That may not grow at first numerically. We may not see a big increase numerically, but I'll tell you what we will do. We will grow spiritually. We will grow spiritually because each and every member, or at least the majority of members, several of the members are on fire, they are zealous, they are working hard, and they're going to grow, and that's going to spread. And members are going to grow spiritually. And then, of course, the consequence of that will be numerical growth, Lord willing. That's up to the Lord. We need to do what the Lord tells us to do and sow the seed. But we read, in fact, over in Acts the 2nd chapter, verses 41 through 47. In Acts the 2nd chapter, in Acts 2 and verse 38, there they were told what they needed to do in order to have their sins forgiven. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, verse 41, it says, then those who were gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's not an apathetic group of people that we just read about. They are a zealous group of people. And when people are zealous like that, the church will grow. But what if we're not? The lost will stay lost. What if Paul was apathetic towards the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if Peter was apathetic towards the gospel? What if all of the apostles followed suit and they were all apathetic? Do you think what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 would have been true? That the gospel had spread throughout the entire known world? Do you think it would have happened? Do you think the gospel would have been spread to the whole world if the apostles had been apathetic? Now, they had good reason not to be apathetic. They had seen the risen Lord. I mean, they were convicted. They were convinced. They were on fire for Him. They were led by the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Word of the Holy Spirit. We are guided through His teachings today. We have the truth, and we ought to be on fire for the Lord as well. The truth will go undefended and error undefeated if we're apathetic. Truth is truth. I made the point this morning in our Bible study. I know of six individuals directly who were converted due to the debate that Bruce Reeves had a few weeks ago. Now that's great. And more, hopefully, to come. The tapes are being made available. The DVDs are being made available. People watch it. The outcome could be great. Much good could come from that. But what if Bruce Reeves had been apathetic and not willing to defend the truth? What if the Highway 65 Church of Christ in Conway were to have been apathetic and didn't want to support Bruce in that and just said, no, we don't want you to do that. You didn't have six souls. Now, possibly all six would have not yet obeyed the gospel and not been converted. Think about that. Apathy can destroy the growth of the church. It can destroy any attempts to save those who are lost. And the truth will suffer and error will prosper. That's not good. We need to be zealous. Jude in verse 3, we all know what that passage says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once abroad delivered to the saints. That is the objective faith of God's Word. We must contend earnestly for it, not passively and apathetically for it. We will not live righteous lives if we're apathetic towards the Scriptures, we're apathetic towards spiritual things. We will not put Jesus first. We will not put God first. We will not put the kingdom of heaven first, Matthew 6 and verse 33. We will not be zealous for good works, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. The grace of God to bring us salvation hath appeared unto all men. And then it teaches us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And then it talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ has His own special people who are zealous for good works. We, if we're apathetic, will not be zealous for good works. In the end, we ourselves will be lost. Going back to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, the church at Laodicea. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. What were they? They were apathetic, weren't they? They were an apathetic group of Christians. And he goes on and he says, so then because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. They were Christians. But yet he's fixing to vomit them out of his mouth. And by the way, in the Greek, it's a little more intensive than just this idea of vomit. I mean, there's an intense word there. It's not just a vomit. It's rather graphic, and I don't want to go any further into that. But the idea is clear, especially in the Greek. So then, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. You know what most apathetic people think of themselves that way? They think of themselves as being all right. They don't see the need to be zealous. But they would be zealous. And have need of nothing. That's the way most apathetic people see themselves and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And that's the way all apathetic people are spiritually. They are in this state. They are wretched, they are miserable, they are poor, they are blind, and they are naked. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ sees an apathetic Christian. Now, is that the way the Lord sees you? Is that the way that you want the Lord to see you? And then in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, and you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So in other words, there's something they need to do about this. There's something that they can do about it. You know what? Apathy can be cured. It's not a fatal disease. Unless it goes untreated. It is not a fatal disease. You know, he says, then look on down there in verse 19 as we go on through this. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and do what? Repent. That means have a change of mind. It means you have a change of action due to that change of mind. You change your course of life. You change your way of thinking, which dictates a change in direction of your life. And then, in verse 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. The fellowship will be restored. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. To him who overcometh, those who repent, those who turn back to Him, those who are faithful, we cannot stay in our apathetic state of mind. Now, practically speaking, what are some things that we can do to cure an apathetic attitude that we may have? Or how can we help someone else overcome an apathetic attitude? Try to help myself develop a greater fear of God. We've already talked about these. Now we're talking about them in reverse. We have pointed out a problem. We've talked about the bad. Now let's talk about the good. Develop fear and respect for God and His Word. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. If we don't fear God, we will not have the proper attitude towards Him, His Word, and His people. So it begins with a fear of God and His Word, proper respect, for it thus saith the Lord. You know, let me back up to that point. Just one more thing. When it comes to
apathy. You know what I see out in the religious world today, in the denominational world? An extreme apathetic attitude towards the Word of God. It's extreme. People don't want to talk about the Word of God. They don't want to talk about the difference. My friend, truth is worth discussing. Truth is worth studying. Truth is worth finding. But many people out there don't care. They are content in the denominational era in which they are presently sitting. They are content to stay there. They like it where they are. And I'll tell you right now, if we don't have the truth, we need it. We need to be zealous in our study of God's Word and our application of His truths to our lives. We must develop a proper respect for God and His Word. It is only through His Word that we can get the proper guidance. That's where the truth of God's Word is. And how we need to develop fear and respect for it. We need to develop faith in God's Word and His promises. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Abraham is the example here. You know, Romans chapter 4, what a great chapter, what a great passage. Abraham is held up as the example of the kind of faith that we must have in Romans chapter 4. It's not by the works of the law of Moses. It's not by keeping the things of the law of Moses. That's what the chapter is really dealing with. It's not through circumcision and the other things of the law of Moses. But it is through faith, and it is through the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ that makes our spiritual life possible. But what kind of faith is it that makes that spiritual life possible? It is the same kind of faith that Abraham had. What kind of faith did Abraham have? Look at verse 18 with me. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. This moved Abraham to obedience. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day." There's the faith of the Apostle Paul. We need to develop that same kind of faith in God's Word and His promises. Know that what God says will truly, certainly come to pass. We need to understand that Jesus Christ, that the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit, will never forsake us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. He Himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, we can leave and forsake Him, but I assure you, He will not leave and forsake you. There was a sign on the bulletin board down the street here a while back that said, if there's a break in fellowship or God is far from you, who has moved? And the truth is, yes, we can move. I'm kind of interested in that, since most Baptists do not believe that you can fall from salvation to begin with. But certainly we can walk away from God. We can turn our back on God. We can leave God. We can do that. Salvation is conditional. Becoming saved to begin with is a conditional thing. Now, it's not meritorious, but it is conditional. And I'll say something else. It doesn't cease to be conditional after you become a Christian. You must continue to serve the Lord. When you fall, when you fail, when you sin, you must turn back to Him and receive forgiveness by His grace again, by doing the things He said for you to do. But we must obey the Lord. Develop genuine love and concern for serving God and others. Mark 12, 29 through 31. I've already quoted that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Whatever I do, and this is just the basis of the synopsis of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. I don't care what I do. If I don't have love when I do it, it's worthless. That's what he's saying. I must develop genuine love and concern. Now, if I develop this love, friend, tell you something, whether you love God or not is your choice. It's your choice. You can choose to fear and respect Him. You can choose to believe Him and trust Him. You can choose to love Him. You can choose to love your brethren. You can choose to love other people. That's your choice. We have to work on developing these things. We must develop spiritually. That's what Paul said of himself in Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13. He developed himself. He learned how to live and serve the Lord. And he continued to strive so that he may gain that hope of heaven.
And we must develop a hard work ethic. Apathy leads to laziness. We must learn how to work hard. We need to learn how to work hard. When we learn how to work hard, serve the Lord, then we will certainly be blessed. We need to learn how to work and serve the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And that principle is true in our Christian life. We must develop vision and purpose. We must be able to see like those faithful men of old. Those in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith there is describing the patriarchs of faith. He talks about how they had that vision, how they had that hope, how they were looking for the promise of God. They didn't receive it while they were here on this earth. They held it out in the future, and they strove for it. And it was by faith that they received it. What is apathy? It's an I don't care attitude about spiritual things in this context that we're talking about. Is that your attitude? How concerned are you about spiritual things? That's the question. What is the cause of that? A lot of things. Fundamentally, basically, it is a lack of faith and trust and fear in God. What are some symptoms of that? A lack of spiritual growth. Fundamentally, that's it. It's a lack of attendance and service to the Lord, and attending to the things that are important to Him. A lack of attending to spiritual matters. What are the consequences of apathy? You'll destroy yourself. And you'll harm those who are around you. And how do we cure apathy? We cure apathy by respecting God, by trusting God, by loving God with all of our heart, by growing spiritually, by applying His teaching to our lives, by working hard, by serving Him, and by hope. A man who has these things is not going to be apathetic towards the Lord. Just that simple. Just that simple. If you have those things, if you fear, you trust, you love, and you're growing, you're working, and you're hoping, friend, you're not apathetic. I guarantee you. You're zealous. Maybe we can all see these dangers are important. These things can kill us, they can destroy us. So we need to know about them. We need to know how to confront them. We need to defeat them on a personal level and as a congregation. We stand against them. There are other things we could add to that list. But those things, I think, cover the bases. Maybe you're here tonight. You've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not difficult to understand. It's not hard to obey. Jesus said that he that believeth in me shall never perish. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Well, let me tell you this. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, you will obey Him. You won't wait, you won't question, you won't doubt, you will obey. He tells us that we must repent. Luke 13, verse 5. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. On the day of Pentecost, when those men heard the Apostle Peter accused them of putting to death the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, you know what they said? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, man, Jesus Christ, for me. Not hard to understand. That's what they were told. Let's speak in the words of the apostolic writers. Let's speak in the terms that were used in the New Testament. We know we're right when we do that. Are you willing to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Ethiopian eunuch did? Are you willing to repent of your sins? And are you willing to be buried with Him in baptism? Then, won't you come forward? And if you are a Christian, you're not living as you should, you're apathetic. I want to tell you something. You need to stop. You need to stop. And you need to reflect. You need to get on your knees and you need to pray. And we can help you. Listen, what you need to do is you need to change your attitude. And you need to become zealous for the Lord by following the steps we talked about tonight. If there's anything we can do to help you, won't you come? Get a sense.